Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, 1 month ago today, Diesel and I made our college football playoff predictions. We made our predictions 1 month ago today on what we believed will happen, who will be the national champion, who will be in the CFP, and who will be left out. We did that 1 month ago today, and now we have the conversation to begin the show with you, Tolos, as well, very involved in this very first segment. Now that we know what we know, now that we actually have sample size, real football has been played, how do we evaluate our thoughts today compared to what we made prediction-wise 1 month ago? Welcome into Wire to Wire. He's Diesel. I'm Cole Bryson on this Tolo Tuesday edition of the show. 844-326-3663 is the phone line to call the show. The Hub City Spartanburgers text line is open, and you can watch the show and chime in there on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Diesel, we actually have football, which, by the way, newsflash, helps when you make analysis and predictions. It's really difficult to do so when you don't have any football. What's the old saying? Sometimes you just don't know what you don't know, and that's where we truly were a month ago. How differently do you feel, Diesel, about the college football landscape and the top teams in the country today compared to 1 month ago?
So you're telling me that everything leading up to the college football season is just guessing? Just stabs in the dark? I don't know. I think they're going to be good. I mean, obviously, look, you and I both thought Clemson was going to go 11-1 and have at least a puncher's chance, a really good chance, to make a deep run in the college football playoff and get to the national championship game. And look at them. They're all the way down to, where are they? In the S&P plus numbers, 31. They're the 31st best team in the country. And if you had just gone by Phil Steele's position group by position group, sort of composite rankings in your mind, you'd say, oh, this is a top five team. And all of a sudden, bam, after 2 weeks, they're not even in the top 30. I specifically remember picking Ohio State as your back-to-back repeat national champions, and they're sitting right there in the S&P as the second-best team in the country. Now, that's adjusted based on who you've played, how you performed against who you played. If you're supposed to blow a team out by 70 points, and you do, great. You get sort of ramped up in those numbers. But if you're supposed to beat them by 70 but you struggle, then obviously you're going to fall down.
So you do or don't?
Do you still have Ohio State?
No, the question was, do you feel differently about your preseason predictions?
No, okay. I still think Ohio State's a really, really good football team, and their numbers are showing it, bearing it out so far.
I think Ohio State's probably in as good a shape as anybody right now. And Tolos, want to hear from you as well. Again, 844-326-3663. JB already chiming in on the YouTube stream. Want to hear from you, Tolos, when it comes to very simple question that we're asking. Now that we've had a month or so since we made our predictions, I know, what, 3 actual weeks of college football, 2 for most, are your thoughts different on the top teams now, Tolos, than they were a month ago? And that's a good place to start, right there with Ohio State, who's ranked at the very top of the college football AP Top 25. For those of you that didn't see the new Top 25 that came out yesterday, the top 5 is Ohio State 1, Penn State 2, LSU 3, Oregon 4, and Miami at number 5 when it comes to the fifth best ranked team in the country. Ohio State, Diesel, is probably, in my mind, again, I don't want to speak for you here, but in my mind, maybe the most surefire team that we've seen in the first few weeks of college football. I know Penn State's really good. LSU's really good. They had a big win over Clemson. But just like when we have the conversation of what great teams are out there, what teams you really feel the most safe about, doesn't it really feel like Ohio State's way at the top of the leaderboard right now?
Yeah, they've just gotten off to that hot start, and it's really hard. I don't think you know much about any of these teams until they've played at least 2 conference games. Most of them at this point have played a power out-of-conference team, and then they need to get a couple of conference games under their belts, because with Ohio State, you look at the fact they play Grambling in week 2 and they beat them 70-0. They play Ohio this weekend. We're not going to know anything really about Ohio State until week number 4 when they kick off on the road at Washington. And again, they haven't played a road game yet to this point in the season. Their only peer institution that they've played is Texas, and they managed just 14 offensive points against them. Okay, I mean, Grambling, it's Grambling, and they put up 70, so that's 10 touchdowns on them. I mean, clearly Grambling was by far and away outclassed on the field. Ohio's not going to give us a great number, so maybe it's Washington, Minnesota, Illinois, which is halfway through the season before we're going to have a sense of who and what Ohio State is.
So, Tolos, who's your number one team right now? It's plain and simple. Who's your number one team now that you've seen a little bit? Diesel, to your point, Ohio State, Texas was a very close game in that big opening weekend of college football, 1 touchdown game. You said it, a very low scoring football game, defensive battle. JB on the YouTube stream brings up an interesting point, and I'm glad he did, because I was thinking about this earlier this morning when looking at the currently ranked number 4 Oregon Ducks. JB brings up, Ohio State looks like number 1, but Oregon looks good too. I'm thinking LSU isn't 3 based on stuff that's happened since they played Clemson.
That Louisiana Tech game, they did not look good in that game, LSU.
No, and again, how good does that win over Clemson look now that Clemson struggled mightily against Troy, right?
Yeah.
So that's the conversation there as well. So when we dissect this top 25 of the AP poll, Ohio State at number 1, you said it. We do have a little bit more of a sample size. We do know a little bit more, Diesel, but we don't know everything quite yet because it's still so early in the college football season. But we do know that they were battle-tested in a game, you said also, it was at home, so obviously that helps, where we saw some really bright spots. Julian Sayin in that game was 13 of 20. He didn't have, by any means, a monstrous performance, but he did take care of the football. He was 13 of 20, 126 yards, 1 touchdown. We know that Jeremiah Smith's one of the best wide receivers in the country, but with JB Diesel bringing up the point with Oregon, could you argue, are you okay with the argument that maybe Oregon's the best team in college football right now based on what we've seen because of how they've just manhandled their opponents?
You could. Week 1, Montana State, a really good FCS team, by the way, 59-13 final score at home. Week 2, they got even better on offense and even better on defense against a power conference opponent. That's the big difference to me is Oregon. I mean, maybe this is the way these teams need to start scheduling. I know we would love the big time matchups in week number 1, but These teams take – sometimes they take a game or two or three to get their legs underneath them. But if you can do that against Montana State, figure a lot of things out, and then go play your first real test, man, this it's shot out of a cannon for these guys. I can't fathom, and you can't convince me that Montana State has better talent than Oklahoma State has. It just means Oregon got better from week one to week two.
You wouldn't think, right? You wouldn't think. Now, when you look at, and we'll look at individual performers as well, but Diesel, when you try to dissect the performances that we've seen in this very early blip of college football in 2025, USC, the USC Trojans, have the number one overall offense when it comes to team stats, who has the best offense right now in college football through two games played. Southern Cal, 1,352 yards, 1,352 yards, 810 through the air, 542 on the ground, and 132 points to show for it. If you just look based on offense, if we're trying to figure out who truly, through these first 2.5 weeks, is the best college football team, Diesel, based on offense, it goes USC, Tennessee at 2, Texas Tech at 3, Arkansas has the fourth best offense thus far. Missouri at 5. Ole Miss at 6. Georgia Tech at 7 with 1,100 yards of total offense.
By the way, a vast majority of that, not even Haynes King as quarterback.
Yeah, they've been balanced. Washington at 8. And then Oregon, who we were just having the conversation about, at 9. Rounding out the top 10 of best offenses in college football in 2025, Diesel, Florida State. Florida State rounding it out. But you look at these offenses. Now, when you talk about college football team total offense, we all know that doesn't tell you everything you need to know. You've got to have a good defense as well. But if you're talking about Ohio State and Oregon specifically, going back to the conversation we were just having, right now, statistically, you look at Oregon, they're outperforming Ohio State by a wide margin. And in fact, Diesel, if you're looking at college football team total offense in 2025, you've got to scroll a good ways down until you find Ohio State. And I mean like way down at 854 yards of total offense. So you're talking about 20 to 25 college football teams offensively that separate Oregon and Ohio State. Oregon in the college football APs ranked 4. Do you still have the S&P pulled up as well?
I do.
What are they ranked? What's Oregon ranked in that?
Oregon is 1.
Okay.
Ohio State is 2.
And a lot of that's data-driven, right?
Yep.
So they're using this metric of total offense, I'm sure, as a big part of that equation, right? You would
right.
imagine.
And evidenced by the fact that Alabama is number 3 in the S&P right now, which is obviously ludicrous. This looks strictly at the data. I don't know how it accounts for the level of competition that you're playing, but
yeah.
To that point, everybody so far right here inside this top 5 or so, they have a power opponent and they have an FCS or a bottom mm-hmm. dweller.
Cupcake.
Yeah. Cupcake.
If we can say that. You know, it's really interesting. Oregon's a team that, Diesel, on our side of the world, doesn't get talked about near as much. Obviously, we know they have the Nike money. We all know that they've had talent over the past few years. But I'm okay on this Tuesday coming to the conclusion that Oregon could be the number one team in college football right now. I'm okay with it. I love Ohio State. I think defensively they're really good. But if you and I had to do that and rank our top 25 based on all of the data out there, based on the AP, based on the S&P, based on the R&B, even though that's not a real poll, I would probably right now, today at this very moment, I'd probably go Oregon at 1, wouldn't you?
You could make a very strong case for it. And here's the unfortunate thing. They don't play each other this year. Oregon and Ohio State.
That sucks.
Don't play each other. I mean, they share a few common opponents. They'll both face Penn State. I don't have Ohio State's schedule up here in front of me right now, but I see Penn State, Indiana, Rutgers, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, Southern Cal, and Washington on Oregon's schedule. I would imagine there's probably four, maybe five crossover matchups over the course of the season. But we're not going to know. Like, is it entirely possible because of the way that the AP operates and the way that the CFP voters operate a couple weeks from now that they could just plop Ohio State at number one, and because that's where they were early in the season, that's where they'll stay. Mm-hmm. And it's maybe not fair that those teams don't flip-flop. I mean, if Ohio State doesn't stumble and Oregon doesn't stumble, they'll probably sit there at 1-2 for a vast majority of this season.
And that's why it's kind of fun, Diesel, to really look at where we are so early in the season with a little bit of a sample size of football, but we don't know everything, right? And we're stuck in that limbo of we have these polls telling us this. We know that 6 weeks from now we're going to have the first ever college football playoff poll. We're stuck in that weird gray area of these conversations happening because we really just don't know, and we know that the CFP is the end-all, be-all, which is fine. I'm great with that, right? I think there should be a end-all, be-all poll, but it's kind of the beauty of it. It's kind of the beauty of it. Like, there's so many different things that tell you so many different things out there. And by the way, side note, can we just go on record for a minute and talk about how underrated, not underrated, how much more, in my mind, we need to talk about Dan Lanning and his success as a head football coach. Yeah. Why is this guy not being talked about as the best coach in college football right now?
He's a trash talker. He is a media darling. He's made for media the way he was going back and forth with Gundy at Oklahoma State this past weekend. I mean, he should have been all over the TV here on the East Coast, but he wasn't.
He wasn't. And that's the thing. We don't get a lot of Dan Lanning. We don't get a lot of Oregon. But my gosh, this guy, he's like 37-6. Last year, what he did is not talked about near enough. You mentioned Ohio State-Oregon playing. Well, guess what? They did play last year, and they played twice. Unfortunately, we don't get to see that this year. You know what he did last year, Diesel, in the regular season in 2024? He just won every single game in 2024. He beat Ohio State 32-31 in the regular season back on October 12th.
But he also cheated against the rules to beat Ohio State early in the season.
Well, at the time, it wasn't cheating,
right? It wasn't cheating, right.
Beat Penn State in the Big Ten Championship. College football quarterfinal, he lost to Ohio State, who went on to win the national championship. I just think that, I know this is a rabbit trail we'll run down here. I think that there's so much talked about Kalen DeBoer and all these other coaches, and Ryan Day, like, rightfully so, he just won the national championship. But Dan Lanning, in my mind, is as good of a college football coach in the country right now. And he's been there for, what, 3 years?
Start, you know, predicting the future here. Like, obviously, we know that the Big Ten has won back-to-back national championships. And whatever you want to say that says about the narrative between the SEC and the Big Ten, mm-hmm. who's the better conference, I mean, you have to imagine that Alabama's going to come calling if they end up firing Kalen DeBoer.
Maybe they just made the wrong hire.
Maybe
then,
they did.
And should have hired Dan.
But
right?
People have been, you know, people have been probably throwing offers at Dan the last couple of seasons, and he's happy where he is. He's happy at Oregon.
He's got
think
a
he
great
stays?
Job.
Yeah.
Yeah. We joked about it last week about maybe he'd come to Clemson one day. I think that'd be idiotic.
How much better can it get?
Yeah.
That's the real question. Autzen Stadium is unique. It's awesome. The weather up there is pretty good.
Yeah.
They've got all the money they could ever possibly need. They're in an elite conference that's winning back-to-back national championships, and I'm sure we'll be locked in a seesaw battle with the SEC for the next 10-plus seasons for national championships. I mean, what else could he need? Why would you walk away from Nike money to go chase ACC money?
No, I wouldn't.
You're not
going to
do it.
He's got it made. And I just going back to my point, I think he's arguably one of the top two, top three coaches in the game right now. And I really don't think it's close. I love Dan Lanning.
Buckeye Mike echoes my comments. He says, as a Buckeye fan, I love Dan Lanning. He's a great coach, and I love having him in the Big Ten. Why would he leave Phil Knight?
Is there a little sarcasm there by Buckeye Mike?
I think so, because they beat him, you know, in a head-to-head matchup.
Yeah, but Buckeye Mike, I wouldn't toot that horn too long, buddy.
You know he's a really good coach.
And he's going to get you. You don't play him this year. Diesel said it.
You went 50-50 with him last season.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you love him.
I'm just telling you, man, I think the world. So, rounding out the conversation in terms of now that we have a sample size, now that we have football, we have Ohio State in the AP poll as one. We have Penn State at 2, LSU at 3. Real quick on the Tigers, the Tigers, rather. In your mind, yes or no, Diesel, Tolos as well, LSU, the third best team in college football. Do you have a problem with that?
I do have a problem with that. I mean, LSU's offense was not world beaters against Clemson. They didn't blow me away in Death Valley, and then they looked bad against Louisiana Tech the following week. All of this is on a week-to-week basis right now. What was it, Smitty, that said it was basically pass-fail for week number one, and LSU passed? Well, you could make the argument that they failed against Louisiana Tech. They didn't lose the game, but they looked bad. They didn't look dominant against them. And that's one of those, like, we focused on Clemson looking bad against Troy. We focused on South Carolina not looking great and needing some you know, second half craziness to look good on paper against South Carolina State. Other matchups where big teams went down, Florida losing. I mean, we didn't talk any about LSU looking terrible against Louisiana Tech, a program that they should dominate.
You know, I think it's interesting. The last thing I'll say before we run off to a break, I think it's so interesting, Diesel, when you talk about these polls, to think about what I said at the very beginning of the segment. We just don't know what we don't know right now. And even though we've had football, it's still early. We still really just don't know a lot. For example, we talk about LSU being the third best team. We have to take the data that we have from two games for most teams, three for some, and use that data to allow ourselves to formulate an opinion on whether they played tonight in a Walmart parking lot, neutral field, Diesel, LSU, Oregon. 9 out of 10 people are going to take Oregon. But LSU in the AP poll, they're ranked 3, Oregon's ranked 4. Mm-hmm. Again, I know we're splitting hairs here, but I'm just saying that just goes to show that, going back to what I said a few minutes ago, there's just still so much limbo. There's just still so much we don't know at the, ninth day of September that we're trying to figure out who's this. We're trying to figure out who's that. Ohio State looks like a great team. LSU looks like a good team. They looked, to your point last week. We say they're a top five team. We say Oregon's a top five team. But I think the most important thing to remember is it truly is a week-to-week conversation. You know? It's just like right now, Oregon looks great. Oregon could lose Saturday. And then all of a sudden our tune has completely changed. I do think it's fascinating that there's so many data points out there, yet we still have such a difficult time finding common ground on it.
Have you ever heard of the mathematical term called statistical significance?
Mm-hmm.
That's that point where you have enough data that it kind of weeds out the anomalies. We have not achieved statistical significance with any college football team, and some might say we never achieved that because we have such a small sample size of the number of games that they play, but we're not there. Every week can dramatically shift our opinion of a football team, and that's what makes college football so great. Yep. Cole, let's move up to the NFL level in the next segment of the show. Pass-fail grade for Caleb Williams under Ben Johnson last night on Monday Night Football. We'll talk about it next on the Fan Upstate. You know, Cole, I truly believe that holding grudges makes you age prematurely. Look at Bill Belichick. He's only 27, but he looks 80. Because we know Bill holds grudges.
Mm.
If you haven't been paying attention to that whole saga with North Carolina. Well, if I'm not welcome in their facility, they're not welcome in ours.
Yeah.
But I am done officially. I'm putting the briefcase full of rocks that I've been carrying around for Caleb Williams. I'm putting it down. You know, it's been a full year in the NFL. I made fun of him a lot for his comments saying, after a loss, I want to go home and watch Netflix and cuddle with my dog. And I had a problem with him painting his fingernails, though that's not really my biggest problem. My problem with Caleb Williams was that he knew he was going to be the number one overall pick, so he essentially shut down everything involved with talking to any other teams. Luckily for him, it didn't backfire on him the way that things backfired for Shedeur Sanders and the way he interviewed with other teams. And maybe that's why. Maybe that's why Caleb Williams shut down his process. I don't want to have opportunities to screw things up and have it leak and get out there that I'm not a team player or whatever it is. But Caleb Williams, in his debut last night under Ben Johnson, looked pretty good.
Yeah.
It wasn't an amazing performance, but it was pretty good. He looked really good in the first half. He had a couple of long runs. He had that one long touchdown run to the corner. He had the second one that was essentially called out at the one-yard line at the very end of the game. They were down 10 with 2 minutes to go. He moved the ball down the field efficiently, got the ball right there to the one-yard line. They ended up – didn't they throw the ball to get it to the back of the end zone for a touchdown there? Just a phenomenal job, I thought, under Ben Johnson, his debut under Ben Johnson. So I'm done hating on Caleb Williams.
You're officially done.
I promise I'll never do it again until he does something worthy of being made fun of.
That's really interesting, number one. I did not expect that from you on this Tolo Tuesday. But you know what? I'm proud of you. That's awesome.
Thanks. It's called growth.
Yeah, you're not going to hold a grudge anymore. You're going to allow it. I will say this in all seriousness. Ben Johnson, you know, we have these conversations every few years. We have the conversations about the Kyle Shanahans of the world. We have the conversations about the Sean McVays. We did it a few years ago when Kellen Moore was still in Dallas about the Kellen Moores of the world, right? Mm-hmm. We have every few years this guy that comes along that we elect as the next, offensive genius, right? The next offensive guru. Now, Shanahan's proved it. McVay's proved it. Kellen Moore's proved it. Mm-hmm. Now he's with the Saints. There's been so many great offensive minds throughout the course of the years, so many that I'm not naming, that have proven it. Ben Johnson is still in proven mode as a head coach, right? Very much identical to Kellen Moore, who was in Dallas, in Philadelphia, a big part of their Super Bowl run. Ben Johnson, Kellen Moore, both as a head coach, are in prove-it mode. However, I will tell you, I am buying every bit of Ben Johnson's stock out there, to your point. He made Caleb Williams in one game look like a different quarterback. Now, could Caleb Williams come out next week and bleep the bed? Sure, he could. But guess what? Talking about sample size, we only have one game. We're talking about what we've seen. And thus far, Diesel, Ben Johnson, you know who didn't look good Sunday? The Detroit Lions. You know who Ben Johnson doesn't coach for anymore? The Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, through one game, boy, does it seem like the tide could be turning on the future of the franchise of the Chicago Bears.
It does also say a lot about the value of the coach-quarterback combo slash relationship. I mean, under Matt Eberflus last year, Caleb Williams looked terrible. He looked terrible. Yeah. He looked like a bust. He looked like he was going to be out of the league working at McDonald's in 5 years. But you pair him with Ben Johnson, a guy who knows what he's doing, all of a sudden he's an elite quarterback. There's countless examples of players, even over the last 5 to 10 years, who you would say, that guy sucks. Sam Darnold, phenomenal example. Baker Mayfield, another great example. It took Baker going through, four teams before he finally found a coach situation that he could succeed under. So, just a tremendous amount of credit goes to, number one, Ben. Number two, to Caleb Williams. Again, not amazing, 21 of 35 for 210 yards and a touchdown.
Took care of the football, right?
Yeah, took care of the ball. Phenomenal drive there at the end to put his team back in a situation to win. It's not his fault that the defense basically stopped playing in the third quarter and let J.J. McCarthy just go off, because J.J. McCarthy,
21,
stepped out of the shadows and didn't play last year because he had that meniscus injury. And, man, he looked good.
21 points in the fourth quarter. Wasn't Caleb Williams' fault, right?
Right.
Allowed by Minnesota. I will say real quick to your Eberflus point, I think, Diesel, if we really step back and look at what happened, I think this just goes to show, like, this just paints the picture in the NFL that so many guys want to be promoted to head coach. And I'm not saying – that a defensive-minded guy can't be a head coach, because I know it's worked. Belichick was a defensive-minded guy, right? And it worked just fine. Other coaches who have been head coaches and defensive-minded guys, it's worked. However, you go back and you do find scenarios and situations, like with Matt Eberflus, who's a defensive-minded guy, who's, by the way, a defensive coordinator now for the Dallas Cowboys, and you think, oh, maybe, just maybe, and I don't know why it's a foreign concept for us to have this conversation, but maybe bringing a young quarterback into the NFL with a non-quarterback coach as the head coach, and instead we have a defensive-minded guy, maybe that's not the best scenario for a young guy to find success. And guess what? That didn't happen. Why is that such a foreign concept?
I mean, there's that old saying, there's a million ways to skin a cat, right? But in the NFL, we're seeing it play out in front of us that more often than not, there's actually just a handful of ways, just a few ways to skin that cat. And the answer usually is have yourself a creative, offensive-minded head coach, and then pair him with a really good defensive coordinator.
There's also
that saying that people are promoted to their level of incompetence. You're good at what you do. You're a smart person. So you start climbing that ladder, and eventually you get to a point where you're in over your head, and you just don't have it for whatever that position is. And that doesn't mean that you're stupid. It doesn't mean that you forgot how to coach. It just means that maybe taking on all of this isn't what you were meant to do.
Yeah.
You were meant to focus on the defense. You were meant to focus on the offense. You were meant to focus on the special teams. But your role as the CEO, that's not in your purview.
And that's why, before we get into the Vikings, that's why I hope the Saints organization is very patient with Spencer Rattler, a guy who looked good in week one, right? And on third down late in the game when they needed to put the ball in the end zone, Spencer Rattler put the ball in the end zone, but the receiver couldn't come up with the catch. And it was right in the hands of Johnson, I believe is who it was on Sunday, that dropped that football. So that's why I hope, as good as an OC as Kellen Moore was, Diesel, he's an offensive-minded guy, that's why I really, really hope, for Spencer Rattler's sake, that they give him time, they allow him and Kellen to kind of grow and not just, you know, knee-jerk reaction, Rattler had a bad game next week, let's pull him and put Tyler Shuck in there. I think Spencer Rattler and Kellen Moore could be a combo that maybe comes out of nowhere. I'm not saying this Saints team's going to go win it all this year, but I just think that if you give them time, Kellen Moore was really successful as OC in Dallas. He was really successful as OC in Philadelphia. Led him to a Super Bowl last year. Yeah, he had Saquon Barkley. That helps. But I just think ultimately it's all about in the NFL finding the right match, almost like a dating app, right? Finding that matchmaker, that perfect fit for a young NFL quarterback, and maybe Spencer Rattler and Kellen Moore can be that guy. What we do know is that, for example, Matt Eberflus and you know, Caleb Williams, they weren't that perfect match. It's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to paint people into a box, and maybe you have a little more insight on this, but do you think there's any truth to the thought process of it's just harder for defensive-minded coaches to trust young quarterbacks? Like they just don't trust them. They're not speaking the same language. I know they're all football coaches, and I know they've all, you know, the defensive coaches, they're not siloed to the point where they don't know anything about offense at all. But it's almost like that defensive-minded head coach needs the trusty, steady hand of a veteran quarterback that he can trust and work his way in.
Well, I'll say this. It might not be as much about the trust factor for me, but the speaking the same language, 100%. You know what I mean? Like when you talk about football guys, I'm around football guys a lot at the high school level, and we are both at the college level a good bit, Diesel, and you do hear it. I mean, they're speaking two completely different languages. So I'm with you on that. Now,
and maybe it's that the defensive-minded head coach, they have that ultimate power of veto and decision-making. So if a quarterback thinks he sees something, he can't, maybe he can't articulate it exactly the right way, or maybe he and his offensive coordinator are on the same page, but ultimately it's not their decision. I mean, how many times in your life and Cole, in places that you've worked and other Tolos that are out there, you think you have a really great idea, but your boss just doesn't go for it.
Yeah.
And you're like, come on, man, this is a great idea. Let's do it. It's going to work. And then he's like, I don't trust it. To me, that feels like maybe what the dynamic is like when you've got a young quarterback, young OC, and a defensive-minded head coach.
Now, how about J.J. McCarthy last night? Phenomenal. I mean, this guy, at halftime, I was sitting there watching that game thinking, Bust? Yeah, maybe, you know, this guy didn't look too good. And then all of a sudden, he comes out in the second half, and in the fourth quarter, they put up 21 points, 13 of 20. Again, these quarterbacks, like one thing I've noticed in the NFL and a little bit in college as well, we talk about defenses being ahead. These quarterbacks aren't putting up monstrous numbers right now. I mean, McCarthy last night was 13 of 20 for 143. He did have a pick in the first half, two touchdowns, a QBR of 52.6, but leading that fourth quarter comeback and scoring 21 points, it says a lot about J.J. McCarthy. And in fact, in the Daily Wires in the next segment, we'll tell you just exactly what he did to break some all-time big-time records.
He could have folded.
And how big of it, like, here we are. This is why I love the NFL. This is why I love the NFL as much as I do. How big of a game was that last night? I know that a lot of Tolos out there focused on college football, whatever. But Monday Night Football, talking about two franchises that need it, two different trajectories, and Caleb Williams and this new guy that came in from Detroit, and then all of a sudden Kevin O'Connell and this new guy at the quarterback position, both of these teams needed it last night. And you know, one of them's 0-1, but I think Chicago could have a decent year.
I think they could be really good as well. That's going to be a tough, tough division with Chicago, Minnesota, and Green Bay. That's going to be a tough race for first place there. And we Carolina Panthers fans, we don't have to feel as bad because Adam Thielen was a non-factor last night. I was just really hoping that was not going to be another knife in the chest, knife in the heart, if Adam Thielen had gone out there and had a great day. But he didn't, so it's
zero.
It's okay.
Zero receptions, by the way. How about that? The over-under was set at 3.5 in terms of how many receptions. Clearly went under.
The problem is that the other former Panther, DJ Moore, had himself a day.
Yeah, he did. Pretty good guy. Pretty good player. A lot happening. We're going to get to upset pick early lanes at 4 o'clock. But next, we've got to take a look around the sports world and see what else is happening. What record did J.J. McCarthy break last night?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader. Here's new car energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help. You save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
We'll tell you next. Tolos, where are you at on this Tolo Tuesday? Oh, you'd think on a Tolo Tuesday you'd be here, you'd be rocking and rolling, and we've got some decent interaction on this Tolo Tuesday from you Tolos out there, but not the numbers we need. And to get those numbers up, Tolos, very simple. Mm-hmm. This is a segment, Diesel, we call Our Daily Wires. J.J. McCarthy, we mentioned him in the very last segment. He led the Vikings to a comeback win on Monday Night Football, defeating the Bears 27-24 in his NFL debut. So a big, big win for the Vikings.
How do you compare the watchability at the end of that game to the Bills-Ravens from Sunday night?
It was good. I don't know if it was quite the same, but it was good. It was really good. 21 points in one, 22 in the other, I think, in the fourth quarter. It's crazy. In Santa Clara, California, bad, bad news if you're a 49ers fan in the upstate today. The San Francisco 49ers know they will be without star tight end George Kittle for a little while as he deals with a hamstring, but they could also be without Brock Purdy this weekend against the New Orleans Saints. Coach Kyle Shanahan said Monday that Kittle will sit out a few weeks because of a right hamstring injury, though that announcement was expected. He also added that Purdy has a left shoulder and a toe injury, with the more serious one being the toe, the coach estimated. And not good news for Brock Purdy, especially going against the one and the only, the mighty, the great Spencer Rattler this weekend.
You could
right?
say they're about to get toe up by the Saints.
You could. The Rattler might be in prime position to strike on Sunday. We shall see. The Philadelphia Eagles are acquiring running back Tank Bigsby from the Jacksonville Jaguars in exchange for the 26th, 5th, and 6th round pick, sources told ESPN Adam Schefter. The deal for Bigsby marks the 5th trade the Eagles have made since mid-August. They also got receiver John Metchie III, quarterback Sam Howell, and Fred Johnson. So the Eagles really stacking up some depth.
Are you telling me they don't have a lot of faith in Saquon Barkley right now or something?
No, I'm not going to tell you that.
I mean, they're probably like 5th and 6th rounders. Don't need them. We're fine.
The Los Angeles Dodgers came oh so close to throwing a no-hitter for the second time in 3 games. Man, how about this? Tyler Glasnow and Blake Treinen did not give up a hit to the Colorado Rockies through 8 innings Monday night, but the ninth, obviously, the one that got them. Florida defensive tackle Brendan Bett apologized Monday for spitting at a USF player during a crucial moment in an 18-16 loss over the weekend. He calls his actions a terrible mistake. He drew a 15-yard penalty, ejected with about 2 minutes to go, and gave the Bulls a first down. And Diesel, we all had on our bingo card 2 weeks in a row talking about a spit taking place in the college and pro ranks.
It's incredible.
It really is.
That's stupid. They keep spitting on each other.
The Atlanta Braves defeated the Chicago Cubs on Monday night by a score of 4-1. Spencer Strider on the mound tonight against the Cubbies. First pitch at 7:15. We'll have this audio for you later in the show because this is quite comical. Texas coach Steve Sarkisian quickly dismissed a question about Arch Manning's health after social media videos of the Longhorns quarterback set off a weekend of speculation. A reporter said Monday that Manning appeared to be having throwing pains. Sark cut him off and said, according to who? Did Arch ask you that? The reporter responded and said, no, it just looked as if he was. So Sark having to put somebody in their place. I'll see if I can
check
get that
audio. Check your sources.
Yeah, check your sources. I don't know where you're getting those sources from, but even though he looks like he's having a little throwing pain there, no, he's not having throwing pain.
Give me another reason why somebody throws the ball and then immediately goes,
ah, I can't
and they're not
it out.
In pain.
I don't know what's going on, but something really hurts all of a sudden.
I mean, if I'm Sark, I'm playing the injury up, right? Like, he's been mediocre because his shoulder hurts.
Probably won't play.
Probably
out for the season. Heisman campaign's over. Let's go ahead and scratch that off. I'm with you there. Let's go ahead and, and play it up, right? I've got that audio I'll play in just a second.
You don't get any bonus points for acting tough, Sark.
Mississippi State has been fined $500,000 by the SEC for the fans rushing the field. And last one before I get to this audio, 100% write the check. J.J. McCarthy becomes the first player ever to score 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter of his NFL debut. And he also joined Steve Young as the only starting quarterback since 1950 to direct a double-digit fourth-quarter comeback in the NFL. And real quick, Diesel, here's that audio from Sark. This is good stuff. In case you missed it, here's that audio for you.
Seem to be having some throwing pains by the
according
fourth
to
quarter.
Who?
Arch? Arch said that to you?
No.
Oh, according to who?
It just looked like he was...
He doesn't have any.
Is there an explanation to why it looked like that?
I don't know. I've never filmed any of you guys when you're using the bathroom, so I don't know what faces you make when you're doing
one
that.
One more time, Diesel.
Arch Manning seems to be having
one
some
more time.
Throwing pains by the
according to
quarter.
Who?
Arch said that to you?
No.
Oh, according to who?
It just looked like he was...
He doesn't have any.
Is there an explanation to why he was...
Grimacing?
Like that?
I don't know. I've never filmed any of you guys when you're using the bathroom, so I don't know what faces you make when you're doing that.
Is that not a weird but funny answer there? I don't film you guys using the bathroom.
Why'd you go? Where's your head at, Steve?
Yeah, a little dirty there.
Why
right?
Is that the example you pulled out of your?
Oh,
you know
boy,
what?
That's funny. Steve Sarkisian, ladies and gentlemen.
Weird. When we come back, Cole, it is time to start thinking about the Upset Picks Challenge, which kicks off tomorrow at 4 o'clock. So, to celebrate the 24-hour heads up, I'm going to go through some of my early leans. You could do the same as well. Tolos, tell us what games you're thinking about picking. That's coming up in the next segment on the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
and
it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.